Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Tuesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. We have good, bad, and crazy martinis for conservatives today. All of it brought to you by Man Crates. Get your special Father's Day discount today at mancrates.com/martini. It's a limited time offer only for Father's Day. So go today, mancrates.com/martini. What is Man Crates? Well, you got to stick around and find out. All crazy martinis today, Jim. This seems to be a pattern now for us, but the news cycle gives us what it gives us, and that's where we are. Let's start with the first crazy, and this probably doesn't even surprise that many people anymore. From the Hill, President Trump on Monday abruptly announced that Super Bowl champions, the Philadelphia Eagles, would not visit the White House on Tuesday, citing the team's participation in national anthem protests. Quote, "The Philadelphia Eagles are unable to come to the White House with their full team to be celebrated tomorrow. They disagree with their president because he insists that they proudly stand for the national anthem, hand on heart in honor of the great men and women of our military and the people of our country," Trump said in a statement. Quote, "The Eagles wanted to send a smaller delegation, but the 1,000 fans planning to attend the event deserve better," he added. Trump said Eagles fans are still invited to the White House to be part of a different type of ceremony, one that will honor our great country, pay tribute to the heroes who fight to protect it, and loudly and proudly play the national anthem. "I will be there at 3 p.m. with the United States Marine Band and the United States Army Chorus to celebrate." So, Jim, this is crazy in a number of ways, not because Trump is having another spat with folks from the NFL. That's pretty much a daily occurrence now. But the fact that the Philadelphia Eagles were one of the few teams where no one actually kneeled this year, the big deal was that a lot of them just didn't want to come.
Yeah, this is a little bit odd, but I suppose we shouldn't be surprised that when given the chance, both the team and certainly this president, neither one wants to be seen as giving in to the other. Neither one wants to be seen as surrendering. The NFL announced its change in its policies, encouraging players that if they didn't want to stand for the anthem, then to wait in the locker room. Trump almost immediately poo-pooed that as not acceptable. Just moments ago, as you were prepping for this podcast, Greg, I got a statement from the press secretary, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, and she says, late Friday, citing the fact that many players would not be in attendance, the team contacted the White House again and attempted to reschedule the event. The president, however, had already announced that he would be traveling overseas on the dates the Eagles proposed. The White House, despite sensing a lack of good faith, you like that? We sense a lack of good faith. It's like a disturbance in the force. You just sense it. Nevertheless, attempted to work with the Eagles over the weekend to change the event format that could accommodate a smaller group of players. Unfortunately, the Eagles offered to send only a tiny handful of representatives, while making clear that the great majority of players would not attend the event, despite planning to be in D.C. today. In other words, the vast majority of the Eagles team decided to abandon their fans. As you said, one of the great ironies, this is a team that didn't kneel. If you have an objection to it, you presumably would have say, okay, good, the Eagles are doing it right. This is a team that's not only won a championship, not only done the national service of defeating the New England Patriots. I mean, look, maybe, you know, Trump has always had close ties to Robert Kraft and says that Tom Brady is a friend and all that stuff. Maybe that's what's really stirring Trump's animosity here. You know, you'd think that this would be one where, you know, Trump would be eager to do this, but Trump clearly relishes this confrontation. He thinks it works very well for him. I don't think this is really about the national anthem anymore. I think this is very much about, look, there has always been an undercurrent of resentment towards professional athletes. They get paid a heck of a lot of money to play a game. Obviously, for many of them, in their mind, look, the average career in the NFL is 3 years. And you could, any given moment, you could twist an ACL and your career is never, you're never quite the same. And for, you know, if you don't come back good enough to be better than the next guy who's younger and who hasn't been injured, your career could very well be over. Very few guaranteed contracts in the NFL. Nonetheless, a lot of fans don't feel particularly good of them. And look, we're talking about a sport that has a large, you know, a heavily white fan base and a heavily African-American players. Trump is playing all this like a fiddle. He's going to keep doing this until he believes it doesn't work for him. I do think there's been a little bit more of a backlash against this particular announcement because of the incongruency between Trump tweeting that this is about the anthem and their how the players act during it. About a team that doesn't do it, and also a decent amount of outrage this morning, and I think generally warranted towards Fox News. Somebody at Fox News screwed up royally, used footage, a picture of a Philadelphia Eagle player, I believe it was one of their tight ends, kneeling during a prayer and did not put that photo in context and made it appear as if the Philadelphia Eagles were kneeling during the national anthem. Bad form by Fox News, another situation in which the president and look, the players could have showed up. The players could have gone through and said, even though we don't particularly agree with this president, we still are honored to be invited to the White House. You know, we appreciate this this salute we're getting. This is part of the traditions of Super Bowl champions, et cetera. Traditions are coming to an end under this president, and I let people decide whether they think that's a good thing or a bad thing. I just think it's just very clear that Trump will take any opportunity to clash further with the NFL because he's convinced this works very well for him, and he's going to keep doing it until there's some sign that it doesn't work well for him.
No, that's probably right. And I'd question whether we're going to see these teams coming to the White House, not only just because of Trump, but just because of the intersection of politics and sports and the fact that we're becoming so much more polarized politically now that there's always going to be people who just don't want to be part of it. My guess is if there's a Democratic president, there's going to be less controversy since a lot of the athletes tend to lean that way politically. A lot of this, I think, also still stems from Trump's loss essentially in court with the USFL against the NFL years ago. It's not like this president holds a grudge or anything, Jim.
Just think, if only the New Jersey Generals had done better.
That's right.
Doug Flutie, it's all your fault.
Yeah, they had Herschel Walker, too. They had a good start. Anyway, on to our bad martini now. And yesterday, our bad martini was President Trump. Maybe this is our crazy yesterday. Tweeting out about the fact that he can pardon himself. He said on June 4th, yesterday, as has been stated by numerous legal scholars, I have the absolute right to pardon myself, but why would I do that when I have done nothing wrong? And he goes on to talk about the 13 very angry and conflicted Democrats who are running the investigation. As a result, the question of whether the president has the power to pardon himself has, of course, been lodged at various Republicans around town and around the country. Yesterday, some Capitol Hill reporters caught up with Texas Senator Ted Cruz. Well, here's the response from Ted Cruz after a long silence.
Senator, the president says he can pardon himself. Would you agree with that?
That is not a constitutional issue I've studied, so I will withhold judgment at this point.
Apparently 18 seconds between the time the question was first asked and Ted Cruz finally answering, Jim. And Ted Cruz basically saying he's not sure on a constitutional issue has got to raise a few eyebrows here. So, Trump's putting Republicans in an awkward position. And clearly, at least some of them aren't ready to give a good answer here.
Yeah. And, you know, Cruz later tweeted about it and said this was a hostile question shouted by, first of all, I believe it was Haley Byrd of the Weekly Standard, who's you know, always struck me as perfectly fine and professional. I didn't sense any hostility or you know, antagonism in that question. I don't think it was shouted from a distance and Cruz had any trouble hearing it. I think that, you know, he was, you know, realized there was no good answer. I think it's very likely that the constitutional scholar in Ted Cruz would say no. Or legal and constitutionally he could, but that there's, you know, enormous political consequence to that sort of thing and he shouldn't do it. But Ted Cruz is running for re-election in Texas. He has a tougher race than usual. I'm not among those who believe that Beto O'Rourke is God's other son and is likely to win back Texas for the Democrats this year. And if he wants to say, you know what, I need to study this, there's nothing wrong with that answer, fine. The length of the pause is a little bit unusual, Greg. And I would point out, I mean, just for comparison here, Ben Rhodes is saying, well, come on, you got to say something, pal. For those who remember the examination of Ben Rhodes in that documentary, we're trying to find the words to describe his reaction to Trump winning the presidency. Look, you know, Donald Trump puts a lot of Republican senators in awkward positions. They don't want to confront him. They don't want to be clashing with him. They know that they're always, it doesn't take much to get an angry Twitter tirade coming their way. You know, most presidents tend to not publicly trash their own attorney generals. Trump has no problem with that. He'll criticize his own cabinet. He'll criticize members of Congress. He'll criticize legislation before that Republicans have sponsored. He doesn't care. They're really, you know, you got to be on your tippy toes and step very carefully when it comes to this sort of thing. And the last thing Ted Cruz wants is to be in a situation where, you know, Mr. President, Ted Cruz says you don't have the authority to pardon yourself. What do you say to that? Trump could very well pardon himself just to prove Ted Cruz wrong. Like, oh, you think I can't do that? There. How do you like them, huh? So my suspicion is that Ted Cruz is trying to avoid it. You know, look, we all have those situations where our brain is not moving as fast as we would like it to. Maybe he didn't have coffee that morning. However you want to characterize it, fine. We all have those moments, Ted Cruz. Don't take it out on Haley Byrd. And, you know, next time you're like, you know, I need some time to think about that. Just say, I need some time to think about that. I don't think any lawmaker or senator should get too much grief for an answer like that.
It's amazing how this momentum gets going. Trump's obviously to blame for a lot of it because he tweeted about it and put pardon in all caps and all that sort of thing. But the issue was raised to Rudy Giuliani on ABC's This Week. Hey, there's been some discussion that the president thinks he can pardon himself. What do you think? And he kind of hemmed and hawed about it and ultimately came around to saying, well, we haven't really looked at it. He probably could. It's an interesting constitutional question. And later in the HuffPost interview that we talked about yesterday, he ultimately said, I suppose he could do it, but he'd probably be impeached right away, and then he could be targeted criminally. So the media, you know, starts the question and then runs with it, and then Trump pours a bunch of gasoline on the fire.
Yeah. I look, you know, most people would say, or you know, the thing I said earlier in the week, the John Woo interpretation, look, if the founding fathers had not wanted to allow this, they would have said so. They would have put it in the Constitution. They would have said something. The president does not have the authority to pardon himself. As my colleague Jonah Goldberg likes to point out, there were three federal crimes when they finished the Constitution. So there just weren't going to be that many opportunities for pardons in circumstances like that. But they gave the president near total authority to pardon whoever he wants. And, you know, if the Constitution says he can't do it, then he probably can do it. Having said that, you can't pardon someone. Like, a pardon is inherently an admission of guilt of a crime. And the president would be saying, well, I'm pardoning myself for this crime that I committed. Now, he might be able to get himself out of legal trouble, but impeachment is kind of an inherently political process, not merely a legal process. Because high crimes and misdemeanors aren't really specified all that clearly in the Constitution, basically the president can be impeached whenever two-thirds of the Senate and a majority in the House kind of feel like, nah, this guy's got to go. Admitting to a crime would probably be enough. We'll see how the vote in the Senate would go. But in the end, you know, pardoning yourself is a de facto admission. And I think that, you know, it, as Trump has said so far, why would I do this if I haven't done anything wrong? Trump is very, very reluctant to say or to ever admit that he's done something wrong.
Do you think his thumbs still have the lion Ted muscle memory going there? And just in case Cruz were to come up with a different conclusion?
No, he endorsed him. So I believe it's now L-I-O-N, lion Ted. He roars, Greg. Yeah, I mean, people are saying that, you know, Ted Cruz should have one of the closer shaves of his career. You know, maybe he could do it with a razor, or maybe he could just do it with a knife. You see, I have a neat knife. It came from my knife-making set from Man Crates. It was one of the coolest, neatest, most unbelievable packages I've ever gotten. And this is probably exactly the sort of thing you should be looking at because Father's Day is coming. Remind your children of these sorts of things because they may very well forget. It's that special time of year. And here's the problem with Father's Day. Dad isn't going to tell you what he wants. Truth is, he may not know what he wants. But this Father's Day, you can give him the gift he is guaranteed to love with Man Crates. Hand-picked and packaged gifts for every type of dad. There's the knife-making set, which I described a moment earlier, where I actually get to build my own Crocodile Dundee-style, well, that's not a knife, this is a knife-type cutting blade, to the hands-on dad, or the whiskey appreciation crate. For fathers who like the finer things in life.
Most gifts ship in a sealed wooden crate with a crowbar, which is very cool. So he gets to pry his man crate open in front of everyone. When is the last time you gave your dad a gift he needed a crowbar to open? That's so cool. With Man Crates, you're giving dad more than a gift. You're giving him a gift experience unlike any other. Plus, every Man Crate comes with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. So get your special Father's Day discount today at mancrates.com/martini. This is a limited time offer only for Father's Day. So go today. That's mancrates.com/martini. mancrates.com/martini. And for those of you that don't know, June 17th is Father's Day. So get on it. All right. As we were mentioning Ted Cruz a moment ago, he's got a midterm election this year that we're fairly confident he's going to do pretty well in. Then the president of the United States, assuming he runs, as it will be up in 2020. And there's a lot of Democrats that are very interested in this race. In fact, David French tweeted the other day, Jim, when as Howard Schultz news came out that he's leaving as chairman of Starbucks and thinking about running for president, that the way the Democrats are lining up, that Eminem is going to end up being the Democratic nominee because the vote's going to get split 93 different ways here with all these people getting in. But yes, Howard Schultz, the longtime CEO of Starbucks, stepped down from that position a little while back. Then he was chairman. Now he is leaving effective June 26th. And the speculation is that he's going to run for president in 2020. Well, he sat down with CNBC and dodged that question about as many different ways as possible. Here's a little bit of that conversation.
What I'm thinking about is what I can do to advance the cause of the country as a private citizen. I don't know what that's going to mean. And there's lots of time. There's lots of speculation. I honestly don't know. We talked about this yesterday.
And let me ask you a different question that relates to that, though. People talk about the presidency, 2020. You use the phrase public service.
Yes.
And I want to see if there's a distinction here. Would you ever run for governor or senator?
I can't be nailed down today on a specific of what I might or might not run for. I want to think about this through the lens of what it means to be a great American citizen. I don't know what that means at this point. But my concern for the country and my concern for our standing in the world, the lack of dignity, the lack of respect, the vitriolic behavior coming from this administration, I think we can do much better. And I think the political class as a whole, not only this administration, has been reckless specifically with regard to $21 trillion in debt and not being as fiscally conservative as we need to be. And we are going to pay for this in terms of the next generation.
Well, he should probably figure out what it is to be a citizen before he runs for president. But sounds like he's pretty interested in this. And the fact that he's actually in favor of fiscal discipline probably means he has no shot at being the Democratic nominee.
Yeah, there's a lot to pick apart here, Greg. First, let me show you how to discourage speculation about whether you're going to run for president in 2020. I need to demonstrate, Greg. Ask me if I'm going to run for president in 2020.
Jim, there's been a lot of speculation. Are you planning to run for president in 2020?
No. There you go. That's how you end it. That's how you pour cold water on it. That's how you stop it. That tends to, when you do the, well, look, I'm just really trying to reexamine my options right now and looking. I'm going to go out and I'm going to hit the road. I'm going to wander the earth like Cain. I'm going to run around the country and do good things for people like the A-team. And Greg, I'm going to hunt for the American dream. You know, when you give that kind of an answer, that's a, look, clearly I'm thinking about it and I don't want to. Now, obviously, because of the success of Donald Trump and his non-traditional background, a lot of people are looking in the mirror and saying, well, why not me? And this is how it's very likely the Democrats are going to have either lots and lots of people who are running for president, or at the very least, lots and lots of people who are, quote unquote, dipping their toes in the water, forming an exploratory committee, making seemingly random trips to New Hampshire and Iowa for speaking gigs. And in today's Morning Jolt, I lay out a lot of reasons why this is not likely to work the way Howard Schultz is hoping, assuming that he really does want to be president of the United States. Look, there are CEOs who are who have jumped into the politics before. Occasionally it succeeds. I think it's probably better if you pull a Ron Johnson and run for Senate or something like that. I do think there's more than a little bit Aryan, if you want to apply this to the current president, fine, of this idea of, well, I've done everything I want to do in business. I'm very successful at that. I'm wealthy. I've achieved all my dreams. I've built my empire. Now I want to turn to public service. And when these guys decide public service and they want to serve their country, Greg, do you notice their idea of serving their country is running the place?
Yes.
The very best way I can help my country is by being in charge of everyone. Maybe it's that CEO mentality. I'm used to bossing people around, and I've decided that's what I'm best at. The first thing which is worth noting is that, you know, Donald Trump, yes, he was a successful businessman, or at least widely perceived to be a successful businessman. You could argue he played one on TV. But he was also this pop cultural figure for the better part of three decades, right? I mean, his name popped up as a lyric in hip-hop songs. He had dozens of cameos and commercials and The Apprentice, and he was a full-spectrum celebrity. And my suspicion is that this guy, and, you know, occasionally you hear rumors that Mark Cuban, the owner of the Dallas Mavericks, Mark Cuban at least has got a reality show, right? I mean, being business famous is not the same thing as being political famous. And my suspicion is that there are a lot of CEOs in this country who walk around believing that they're famous because they walk into a room and people applaud. Almost everyone they encounter has heard of them and knows who they are. Maybe a good question is, like, if people stop you in the airport, that's probably a good sign that you're genuinely famous as opposed to being famous within the circle of your profession. You can get covered in depth on CNBC and on Business Week and Bloomberg and on the cover of Forbes or Fortune and stuff like that. But you may not permeate the broader culture at large. My suspicion is that very few Democrats who are thinking about 2020 primary really know that much about Howard Schultz beyond he was the CEO of Starbucks. Yes, he had a very modest upbringing, and he, you know, in some ways he's a great classic American success story. But he's had the title of chief executive in one form or another since like the mid-80s. For at least 10 years, he's been amongst the 500 richest Americans of all time. I don't know if I see that flying in a Democratic primary. I think that's the sort of thing that's going to get a lot of criticism from the Bernie Sanders wing. And oh, by the way, he was apparently Hillary Clinton's choice to be labor secretary if she had won. So whether or not Howard Schultz sees himself as the establishment, he is the establishment, right? He's not going to be able to run against Washington business as usual. Oh, I'm an outsider. Oh, I'm not like any of that. If you've spent the better part of three decades in corporate boardrooms, you're not part of the outsider. That's not going to win over all those voters who shifted from Obama to Trump in Wisconsin and Pennsylvania and Ohio and Michigan and Iowa and maybe even down in North Carolina and a couple other states. And just finally, the most recent thing that kind of really nagged at me the more I thought about it, we had that incident at the Starbucks in Philadelphia. Black men in the store manager called the cops. They wouldn't let them use the bathroom. And there's this whole controversy in a lot of different ways you could argue about, how do you respond to something like this? I believe that one of the things that a boss and a leader has to do is he has to stand up for his people when they need some defending. Applies to government organizations, applies to businesses, applies to publications, radio stations, that basically when your people have done their job, then you need to stand up for them. And when there was this kind of backlash against Starbucks, Howard Schultz had the option of saying, hey, you know what? My employees are not racist. My employees get up every morning and work hard and do their best to give the best possible service to all of our customers. And I resent the implication that there's something wrong with them, that they're somehow the cause of America's racial tensions or something like that. He didn't go in that direction. Nope. Everybody got brought in for unconscious bias training. And I don't know. Look, we don't know what the political environment is going to be like in 2020, but I don't see that being this huge success. Certainly, not in the general election. I'm not even sure it's going to be all that successful in the Democratic primary. One, because of the crowded field, but two, I don't know. Do people want to turn to Howard Schultz, former CEO of Starbucks, as the great racial unifier? My suspicion is that when you take this tack, there are certain African Americans who are going to look at him and say, what the heck do you know, Mr. CEO? You don't know my experience. And then there's the other flag and say, wait, why is this wealthy CEO telling me I need to be a better person and that I'm the problem and that I'm the cause of racism in America? Again, this is looking well down the road. It's entirely possible Howard Schultz doesn't choose to run for president. But if he does, I think he's going to run into these sorts of bumps in the road. And I don't think anyone around him has really thought all this stuff through, except for possibly the political consultants, Greg, who see Howard Schultz talk and they just see a giant anthropomorphic pile of money.
No, that's exactly right. It'll be good if he hits those stumbling blocks. Not only is he a raging liberal on most issues, I have to assume that our educational standards in this country will plummet because after 4 or 8 years of the Starbucks guy, no one in this country is going to be able to spell their own name anymore.
Ah, very good. That was the one quirk about life at Starbucks that I could not seem to. The best version I had seen, we've all seen the image of the protester yelling through a bullhorn at this, yes. Poor Starbucks employee dealing with it. And I just want to write, my name is Jim, J-I-M. There is no N in it. Why is this so hard for you? That would be what strikes me as a completely justified complaint about Starbucks.
Yes, exactly. Oh, there's all sorts of problems for Howard Schultz already, and he's still only mulling it over. Jim, another crazy day. Talk to you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. And be sure, don't forget now, Father's Day coming up soon. Get your special Father's Day discount today at mancrates.com/martini. mancrates.com/martini. And tune in Wednesday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.